Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
In 2011, 9 Korean citizens were prosecuted for defamation of Tablo for participating in the online campaign against him. For most of the public, this put the doubts about Tablo to rest, and the online forum, Taijinyo, went from being perceived as a maybe overzealous but overall righteous crusade of activists who wanted to expose fraud to looking like a cult-like mob that was uninterested in facts. From the outside, it looked like Tablo had won. But it's not so simple. I mean, can you really say you've won if the other side is still fighting? Because, yes, at its peak, Taijinyo's membership was in the hundreds of thousands, and it never reached that again. But Taijinyo never did go away. There are still 35,000 members on the forum, and people still, to this day, are posting religiously. And this is what I wanted to understand most. What is it that's kept Taijinyo going for years? We could theorize all we want, but it's hard to get a clear picture without talking to someone who's actually part of that group. So our producer Stephanie Kariuki and I set out to try to find someone from Taijinyo to tell us, once and for all, why they still believe that Tablo is lying. We started by tracking down Taijinyo's most notorious member, a man who wasn't just the star of the forum, but the person that the police were most interested in interrogating. A man who goes by the online handle, What Becomes. From Vice and iHeart, I'm Dexter Thomas.
And I'm Stephanie Kariuki.
This is Authentic. Episode 6, Chong-yi, Justice. Steph, you're here because we've been working pretty closely together to get a hold of someone from Tajinyo, but it's been really hard.
Yeah, I mean, I started the search with What Becomes because Officer Seh had spent months trying to track him down because he was considered the main driver of the campaign against Tablo. And some of the posts he was making were advocating physical violence against Tablo and his family. Officer Seh saw him as the worst guy.
He's the worst guy. So, of course, we are focusing on him.
Right. And What Becomes was also a big reason that things started getting really serious in the police investigations, right? Because the cops figured out that he'd signed up for the site using a fake ID, which is illegal in Korea. And when the cops reported that to Naver, which is the platform that Tajinyo was on, Naver shut the whole thing down. So for a while, it looked like the police were really on this guy's track and they were maybe about to put him away.
I found his cell phone number after I searched a lot and then I called him from Korea.
Right. And Officer Seh, he'd been working behind the scenes to track down What Becomes his real name and address. And when he finally got him, Seh realized What Becomes was in the States. So he called him.
Wow. And did he pick up?
Yeah, he picked up.
What did he say?
So I asked you to visit Korea for interrogation. He said he denied. Why? I'm not a Korean citizen anymore.
Since Officer Seh couldn't get What Becomes back to Korea, he thought, okay, fine. I can go to him.
I was quite excited to fly to the U.S. to get arrested him.
Korea takes defamation extremely seriously. But in the United States, it's not as serious of a crime.
Right.
So that means that there was no way to extradite him. Officer Seh even tried to get Interpol involved, but they wouldn't touch it.
Yeah, and that was pretty much it, right?
Yeah, which is weird to think about because other Tajinyo members had gone to jail for posting about Tablo in Korea, and the things that What Becomes had posted were just as egregious. But because he stayed in the States, he was safe. And authorities couldn't even question him.
Of course, I'm disappointed. If we had him, you might get more detail and why this started happen.
Yeah, now that I think of it, Officer Seh is probably one of just a few people outside of Tajinyo that's ever been able to talk directly to What Becomes.
Exactly.
So Officer Seh couldn't question him, but was he able to get anything out of him on the phone?
Well, not really. Officer Seh told me what he knew, and he figured out that What Becomes' his real name is Eung Suk Kim, and that he was in Chicago.
Huh.
Yeah, so we know that Kim immigrated to the U.S. with his wife and two daughters. We also know that he ran a small business while putting his kids through college. Eventually, he became a U.S. citizen, and we also know that he would stay pretty active on these Korean forums, and that's how he joined Tajinyo as a forum manager almost 20 years later when he was in his 50s.
Huh.
Yeah, and what's interesting about all this info is that half of it Kim put out there himself. And the rest was released in articles soon after investigation. And it's not exactly like Kim was super private about who he was.
Yeah, I've read some of his posts from that time. And he's talking pretty openly about that he has daughters and that he lives in the United States. He never hid that.
Exactly.
So all of this stuff you just said, I knew from reporting on this series. The stuff that you and I haven't talked about, and really this is why I wanted to bring you on, is because I never really got the full story about this. You went on this reporting trip, right? By yourself. How did that even start?
Well, I'd been reading everything I could about him, and I had his Korean name, but I also knew that he might be using a different name here in the U.S. So really the only thing that I could rely on was his last name.
Mm.
So I just started looking up phone numbers.
As in, you're just going through the phone book looking for the last name Kim in Chicago? That's That's going to be a lot to go through.
It was. I mean, I was using other stuff too, but yeah, I kind of just had to call people. And I probably called at least a dozen numbers, and most of them were out of service. I think I got maybe one person to answer, but she clearly had no idea what I was talking about. So that was a wrong number. I also found some email addresses on Google, but most of those bounced back. And one of them did go through, but no one ever replied. I also found a couple of addresses, and I was thinking maybe I could send a letter.
You were just really trying everything.
Right. I was hoping that I could interview him. But at the very least, I felt like we should tell Mr. Kim what we were doing and give him the opportunity to make a comment, since for so long, he basically was the face of Taj and Yo. But after all the phone calls and emails didn't go through, I thought, well, if I write a letter, what if it gets lost in the mail or he just doesn't answer? And at the time, I was in Ohio visiting family, so I thought, I'm not that far from Illinois, so I might as well, at the very least, go to the address that I have just to see if I could just talk to him in person.
So, no sending a letter, just pull up to his house directly.
Yeah, exactly. So, I got in the car on a Sunday morning and I drove to Chicago to try to find Mr. Kim.
Hi. Okay, so it's me, it's Stephanie. And it is 8:29 a.m. I am freakishly on time.
The drive from my parents' place is like 5 hours long. So I had a bunch of time to think. I was thinking about the Taj and Yo Forum and Mr. Kim. And I was also running through all the questions that I wanted to ask him. But as I got closer, I started thinking about something that had occurred to me, but that I sort of also avoided thinking about too much. When I got there, I parked and I called our supervising producer, Janet.
One of the things that I've been thinking about, how can I come off as like super comforting and happy and also like be wearing my face mask and be like a random Black person walking into this building?
Totally.
I mean, I felt sort of weird for even saying that to her because I was the one who said I wanted to find Mr. Kim.
Right, right.
And I was thinking, you know, what if I ruin our chance to talk to him because I'm...
suspicious?
Yeah, yeah.
Yo, okay, so to be real, this is actually part of what I wanted to talk about. Because when you told me that you'd just been wandering around, looking around in Chicago, I thought, man, I mean, depending on the community, just a solitary Black person walking in uninvited to a residential building, that can already make people really nervous, let alone what it is you want to talk to them about. I mean, I've been in the situation where, you know, you kind of have to be overly, really, really friendly because you have to anticipate that people may have preconceived notions or stereotypes of you, but you still have to interact with them.
Exactly, Dex. Exactly. That's exactly how I was feeling. And you know what happens in these scenarios. Like, you can't think about it too much. And I was already there, so I kind of had to shove these feelings aside and just keep going.
Yeah, I get it. Well, so you were there. What was it like?
So I got out of the car and I looked at the building and up close, it looked different. Like on Google Maps, it looked like an apartment complex. But in person, it looked more like some sort of facility.
Huh.
Basically, it's so quiet. It seems loud because of the wind, but it's actually very quiet. There's the wind.
The front had sliding doors and a number that I had to call to be buzzed in.
Your call has been forwarded to an automated voice messaging system.
Joel?
Hello?
Is not available. At the tone, please record your message. When you finish recording, you may hang up or press 1.
I kept dialing, but nobody at the front desk was there. But someone came up and let me in. I had what I was pretty sure was Mr. Kim's apartment number. So I walked down the hall found it, and knocked.
I hear someone.
No answer. I waited a while, but I figured, okay, I'm here. I can't just leave. So I started asking around. I think I probably asked 4 to 5 people.
Just, hey, do you know Mr. Kim?
Yeah, exactly. But nobody did. And then I walked up to this one person.
Hi.
Hey, are you looking for somebody?
I am.
She didn't know him either. But when she found out that I'm a reporter, she said that she did have something she wanted to tell me.
I work for Vice News.
Well, start taking notes.
Yes.
Of what you're hearing about a place like this.
Yeah.
The good and the bad.
Well, this neighbor had lived in the building for a couple years and didn't want to use her real name. So I'm going to call her Paula. We chatted for an hour.
So tell me more, like who comes to live here?
Sometimes I've seen some children bring their parents over here.
So it turns out that this complex is like an affordable housing community for lower-income elderly residents. Paula told me that a lot of people who stay there get some kind of government assistance. And sometimes nurses will come and help people bathe or do stuff around the house.
Okay, so it's a nursing home.
Not really. Nursing homes usually have pretty strict rules. But at this place, residents can come and go whenever they want. But also, there was something kind of off about it. Paula started telling me this story.
There's this one woman that she was brought in because her children encouraged her. And boy, did she fought it. Now she walks around like a dead face, a blank face. And I think she just gave up the fight. And she just, yeah. She's probably just waiting until the day comes when she's taken.
Oh, man. This place sounds like it was just kind of sad.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't really know. And I also don't know how much of Paula's story is true. But this place did have something that felt kind of sad about it. And I wasn't sure if this is a place where someone like Mr. Kim, likely in his 60s now, goes to live a full life. But this vibe that I was getting, it could also be because I was there on a weekend and maybe most residents were just gone. So Paula was telling me more about the apartment when all of a sudden the door zipped open and 2 medical staff rolling a stretcher came in.
Oh, somebody's being returned.
Oh, somebody's being returned.
I didn't leave anything.
It looked like somebody who was at the hospital nearby was coming back to their apartment. The neighbors were crowding around to say hi. It felt intimate, like outsiders shouldn't be seeing this. So I figured I should just go. The next day, I went to another address, and I was pretty sure that this one was a relative of Mr. Kim's. So I wanted to see if maybe they could help me get in touch with him.
Just ring the doorbell. Hello.
Hi.
Someone opened the door, but they didn't want to talk. So I stopped recording. They did confirm that they were related to Mr. Kim, but they didn't have anything else to say. I wasn't surprised, but it did help connect some dots. It felt like the chances were high that Kim did live in those apartments. So I went back. I figured, even if he didn't answer, I could at least write a note and put it under the door. So I knocked on the door. I was fully prepared to just write a note and try later. But then I heard someone moving around inside. So I tried talking through the door.
Hi, this is Stephanie. Mr. Kim, can I ask you a question?
No, I'm
trying to get you here. Oh. Sorry. Mr. Kim, can I give you my information?
He said no. He didn't want to talk. So I wrote down my information and slid it under the door and walked away.
So he obviously didn't want to talk about any of this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there is an outside chance that that wasn't him. But the address and his family down the road, it adds up.
Mm.
We did write several letters to him, but he never replied, which sucks because I had a lot of things that I wanted to ask him about. I'm sure you did too.
Yeah, I mean, to start off with, why Tableau?
Yeah, and like, how did he even start down this journey with Tableau? And what does he think about the forum now? Does he regret any of it? Or does he wish that he did things differently? And I also kind of want to know about his life. Like, what is he up to now? And why does he still not believe Tableau?
Right, because you found out that he's still posting about Tableau.
Yep. Our producer Minji and I were checking out all the comments associated with his username. We found out that he made a whole other private forum. And it's not that big, maybe 10,000 members. But he is still posting on it to this day.
Yeah. The ones that I've seen are the ones where he's posting about these different education credentials cases that are more current, right? There was the big one that happened actually when we were in Korea, when the senior secretary's daughter, Cho Min, was accused of gaming the education system also to get into this elite school.
Yeah, he's still really into this stuff. He's also done some media. Like when Officer So was investigating Tae Jin-yeo in 2010, Kim did a 2-day in-person interview with the Joongang Daily. In that interview, he seems to have accepted that Tableau did graduate from Stanford, but he really wouldn't admit that he was wrong, adding that he thinks other people are protecting Tableau in a wider conspiracy to cover up fake degrees. He also asked Tableau to drop the charges against him. He mentioned that he was getting letters from people threatening to come to Chicago and kill his family, adding that his family was having a really hard time with the situation. I think the closest that we'll ever get to understanding why What Becomes led this crusade is through this sentence that he says in the article, quote, "I did this out of justice."
Yeah, justice. This is tricky, right? Because, I mean, what does justice mean in this scenario? And that brings me back to the original question we had, right? Which is, why does he and, you know, 35,000 current Tae Jin-yeo members, why do they still believe that Tableau is lying? And, I mean, Mr. Kim did at least partially come around and say that, okay, Tableau did graduate from Stanford. But what is it that Tae Jin-yeo is trying to prove now?
Right. And this is when we loop back to Tae Jin-yeo again to look at the current online forum to see if someone could help. Our vice colleagues in South Korea started contacting people too. Not surprisingly, a lot of people didn't want to talk about this. People have gone to jail who were a part of Tae Jin-yeo. So, of course, any member might be nervous about speaking out. But I guess if you put all that aside, someone responded.
Yeah, whatever the case might have been, we had somebody from Tae Jin-yeo who was willing to speak publicly.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. We would like to welcome you aboard Korean Air.
And so we flew to Korea and all sat down with a Tae Jin-yeo member.
Yeah, my conversation with him after the break.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
So today we're in a taxi and we're headed over to meet up with the moderator, the leader of the Tajinyo forums.
It took us about 20 minutes to get to Daeonglo. It's the arts district of Seoul. It's hilly and it has these narrow winding roads, these different colored houses, and these little boutique shops everywhere. We all met in this coffee shop that the owner let us use during some off hours. We all sat down, said our hellos, and agreed to keep our masks on.
이름은 정원영.
Jeongwon-young was wearing a polo shirt and khakis, and he seemed like the kind of guy that you'd smile at when you passed him on the street. He smiled a lot, actually. You could see it in his eyes, even over the mask. And he was really calm and polite. Chung works in e-commerce and mostly lives in Korea, but he travels abroad for work sometimes. It turns out we have a few things in common. We're both into technology, and he really likes studying foreign languages, and so do I. And when he heard that I'm a professor, he kind of got excited, because, like me, he believes that education is really important. Chung joined the original Tajinyo Forum about 12 years ago, around the time when it started. He was a really active member, and when the original forum was shut down by Naver, he became the manager of Tajinyo 2. We'll have a voice actor read the translation of what he told us.
What made you want to actually join Tajinyo instead of just reading the posts?
Ever since I was a child,
I've been interested in history and justice.
Chung is 54 years old, and he grew up in Seoul. He's around the same age as What Becomes. I can't really say how similar the two of them are, since I've only met Chung, but they did both grow up in a really turbulent time in Korea. He was the oldest of six kids.
Having six kids was common in Korea at the time. Back then, children had to wear black school uniforms and have a buzz cut. Korea was developing very fast. Students lived in a strict society and we had to study really hard. Everyone was focused on Chung and Hyo.
Chung is basically about loyalty. In the past, it might have referred to loyalty to a king. But nowadays, it could be interpreted as loyalty to your superiors at the company you work for, or even your patriotism to your nation. Hyo is deference that a child should show to their parents. So both of them are essentially about respecting hierarchy. And when Chung was growing up in the 70s, that's just what you were expected to do, respect the hierarchy. But times were changing. Through the 80s and 90s, as Korea went through protests and violent military action against its own citizens and blatant government corruption, a lot of younger people, including Chung, were starting to question whether some of the people at the hierarchical top were really worth that respect. And technology was bringing people together in ways that let them communicate that frustration. At first, Chung saw technology as a career opportunity and a way to have fun.
In the early 1990s, when I was in the army, I worked with computers. I was also posting online. It was around the same time that many other people were enjoying and learning about the internet.
When Naver first introduced their online forums, Chung signed up immediately. He spent a lot of his time on a forum about strategy games, and sometimes he'd meet up with the other members to play in person. A couple years later, in the 2000s, when Talos started to get famous, Chung noticed him.
When you first heard about Tableau, where were you?
I thought they were just a very normal music act.
What changed for you, in your opinion, about Epic High?
One of the Epic High members, Tableau, was on a lot of variety shows. I thought it was surprising when the media focused on Tableau and made him sound like a very special person.
Jung was pretty used to seeing Tableau on TV. But there's one show he remembers that stopped him in his tracks. It was 2009. Tableau was on this variety show, and one of the hosts asked him if he was good at school when he was younger.
아니요, 어렸을 때 되게 못했어요.
Tableau said, no, I was bad in school.
못했는데 어떻게 스탠포드를 그렇게 쉽게 말씀하시면 안 되죠. 아니.
The host stops him and says, then how the hell would you get into Stanford? Don't make it sound like it's so easy.
이 막판에만 잘하면 돼요.
Tableau replies that you just have to do well at the last moment.
스탠퍼드도 벼락치기로. 제가 알고 있는 상식과 너무 달라서 많이 놀랬고.
I was very shocked. It was different from what I knew as a common sense. How could he say you can just study well at the end? How could he think like that?
Chung had worked hard to get where he was. And hearing this, it just didn't seem right. Jung told me that this was a big reason that he joined the Taijinyo Forum when it first started in May 2010. He also told me some of the things that he thinks Tableau is still lying about. The list is pretty long, but in general, they're pretty familiar Taijinyo talking points. He thinks Tableau is faking his language abilities. He thinks he staged the graduation photos. And he finds Tableau's claim that he finished his degree in 3.5 years to be suspicious. But the police cleared Tableau of lying about languages and degrees and all that. So I asked Jung what he thought about that. He said that he doesn't think South Korean police actually have the ability to properly investigate such a complicated case.
I still don't think it was done correctly.
Why is that?
Sending a document to the U.S. from Korea is not an investigation.
Chung also says that even if police do investigate forgeries and they find something, that they might falsify that report if they've been given orders to do so by some powerful superior. Talking to Chung, though, he made it really clear that he respects order and authority. So if the National Police and a forensics lab publish their findings that Tableau's diploma was authentic, why wouldn't that be enough for him?
Maybe for a lot of people listening to this who are not Korean, who don't live here, and who didn't experience firsthand. I didn't watch the scandal when it happened. This all probably sounds like just a misunderstanding and just let it go. It sounds like it's much more significant for a lot of people, especially you. Can you help me understand that?
한국의 문화가 급속도로 그 발전을 하면서 한국이 고유한
People think this was a simple misunderstanding, but the truth is that it has a bigger influence. In Korea, you can get a job by forging your academic background and using that fake background to get ahead in society. It's a problem that we need to fix.
Chung here is talking about something that we've kind of been circling around for a while now. The thing that really drove him to be a leader in the Tajinyo Forum is bigger than Tableau the person. It's the idea that the rich and powerful can skip the line while everyone else has to work hard. But to him, it's more than just an idea. He'd seen the news about Shin Jung-a, the art curator who faked her diploma, and all the others who got caught afterwards. And he realized that there could be countless people living a good life thanks to their fake credentials, while others, like him, have to work hard for the same, if not less. For Chung, this is not fair. And this was a way of doing something about it.
It's not just a simple matter of education. I think it's about inequality in Korea.
And another thing that I want to talk about is like the cultural context in which this emerged in Korea.
This is Professor Haejin Lee again, who teaches communications at the University of Southern California. She helped me contextualize and understand what Chung's getting at here.
Back in 2010, one of the things or one of the concepts that Koreans were really focused on was justice. And I think it has to do with a lot of people's discontent with society because, first of all, there was a widening gap between the haves and the have-nots. So people were just not happy with what they were seeing, and they felt like they were living in a society where justice wasn't being seen. But if you think about it, their sense of justice was at a very personal level. They weren't thinking about justice as something that can be done through changing the system for the collective good. For them, justice was at an individual level, meaning that, well, here's the system we know is broken, but look at all these individuals, the bad apples, the rotten apples who are taking advantage of it. So they were going after who they deemed as the rotten apples instead of the system itself. Now, he was just an easier target for these people to seek justice rather than the broken system, such as education system. Korean education system has been broken for so long.
And this is the case with, you know, United States society as well, I think. But there is a tendency to say, all these things are broken, but here is somebody who is on TV. Mm-hmm. I'm familiar with them. Mm-hmm. They represent something, or they seem to represent something that I don't like. So it sounds like Tableau was almost in the right place at the right time, or the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right.
He just got caught in the crossfire.
Exactly. So it wasn't really about him. It was just like what he symbolized at that moment.
In the United States, a broken public education system can mean a lot of things, like how our elementary, middle, and high schools are essentially racially segregated across the country, or how universities cost tens of thousands of dollars per year to attend, and they leave students with a lifetime's worth of debt. But in Korea, when someone says the education system is broken, the nuance is a little different. They're more likely to be saying that it's unforgiving. If you test into a good college, whatever job you want to do, whatever your dreams are, you know that that diploma is going to open those doors for you. But if you fail, even once, those doors start to close. No second chances. This is reinforced at pretty much all levels of society, even the government. On one of the biggest national exam days, planes are not allowed to fly so that they don't distract the kids. If students are running late, then police will escort them to the testing center. There's no hammering on construction sites and absolutely no early stock market opening on that day. Even regular people do their best to help out by not honking their car horns. The upside of this is that this focus has given South Korea one of the highest rates of education in the world. But it also puts a lot of pressure on students, even young ones.
A recent survey found that 1 in 3 middle school students had thought of taking their own life. So when Chung and Haejin Lee talk about things like the system and inequality, this is what they mean. And Tajinyo, in its own way, saw itself as trying to dismantle all this. It's just that their approach was hyper-focused on the person that they saw as the symbol of everything that was wrong with Korea.
We just want to pass on a just society to our children. I don't know how long it's going to take, but I will not stop. I hope we can achieve justice.
Tableau just recently released an album. He's got another one coming on the way. He's on TV. What do you feel when you see that?
I want Tableau to live a normal life. I'm totally okay with that. I think Tableau could have done wrong things when he was young, but there's no reason to think that he's a bad person. Maybe Tableau is a better person than me. I hope he continues being a wonderful dad. But I also hope that he can clear things up so that I can change my mind. If he would just be honest, then I think we can settle this in a beautiful way.
Maybe the strangest thing here was that Chung actually seems to think that he and Tableau could be on the same side, fighting for justice, to fix the broken system all around them. But for that to happen, Chung wants more proof. But after all these documents, more proof? Will there ever be enough? And for Tajinyo 2.0, the forum that still to this day has over 35,000 members, what does fixing the system even look like?
You're somebody who went to Stanford, has this amazing career, and it's almost like you're a stand-in for, you represent, I think, something that a lot of people truly hate. Has it ever occurred to you that this isn't actually about you?
Most certainly, of course. It's ironic that I was a stand-in for the social injustices, everything wrong about society. I think they saw in me. They wanted me standing there so that they could have someone to throw a punch at. Mm-hmm. And we're all angry in our own ways. But there's no one to really, take the punch for it. Mm-hmm. There's no one to take the blame for it, really. It's hard to find someone.
You need a face.
Yeah. And I think at that moment, I was the perfect face for it. Most of the kids that are going to be listening to my music and that are going to be looking up to me, I know they don't want to study. Like, I don't like the education system. Mm-hmm. I don't like how I had to live. I don't like that I was put through this thing, and I don't want my audience looking to me and, having their parents say, see, be like him, study, go through the factory, be a machine, mm-hmm. so you achieve like him. I want them to think that they have an out. Mm-hmm. And if that's a bad influence, I really honestly don't give a shit. It's the truth.
Next time on Authentic,
how did you feel knowing that there are family members who are being implicated in these attacks against you?
To tell you the truth, I wasn't surprised.
You weren't surprised?
Yeah, because, I didn't get to choose my relatives. They didn't get to choose me.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is it.
your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
The wait is over. The Chi returns May 10th on Paramount Plus, and the stakes have never been higher. Everything changes on the South Side when a new threat comes to power in the Showtime original series from Emmy winner Lena Waithe. Battle lines will be drawn, alliances will shift, and danger lies around every corner, leaving everyone to wonder who they can trust. Visit ParamountPlus.com/The Chi to get a 50% discount off the Paramount Plus with Showtime annual plan. Offer ends July 14th. Subscription auto-renews. Restrictions apply.
Authentic is a production of Vice Audio and iHeart Podcast Network. Produced and reported by Stephanie Kariuki, Minji Koo, Kate Osborne, and myself, with Janet Lee, Stephanie Brown, and Sam Egan. Sound design and original music composition by Kyle Murdoch, with additional support from Natasha Jacobs. Our supervising producer is Janet Lee. Editing from Lacey Roberts. Fact-checking by Minji Koo and Nicole Pasulka. Our executive producer and VP of Vice Audio is Kate Osborne. Thanks also to our voice actor, Chung Mo Young. From iHeart Podcast Network, executive producers Nikki Etor and Lindsay Hoffman. I'm Dexter Thomas. Make sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss an episode. And if you dig it, give us a rating and a review.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. On sale now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.